How to become time rich. Before we dive into today's episode, I want you to head on over to heatherchauvin.com/live and join our next live webinar. It's June 6th and the 13th. So I have two live dates for you if you cannot make one. Also, what I wanted to say is when I am teaching live webinars, there's a lot of doing. So create the space, bring your pen and paper, and head on over to Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/live, L-I-V-E. How to become time rich for busy women managing people, raising children, and deeply desiring more from life. Mom is in Control, Episode 4. Hey, Mom is in Control Tribe. It's Heather Chauvin here, your host, and welcome to the show where it's all about helping you understand your children and yourself so you can create a life that your soul craves. So I'm sitting here. It is a Sunday afternoon while I'm recording this intro. I did this interview a long time ago with Sandy Schwartz, and we're going to get into kind of the topic of it, where she's talking about her experience as a mother raising a highly sensitive child. She was a school teacher, and what she noticed was that she had this transformational experience, and I really resonate with her message because that's kind of what happened to me too. I started seeing these behavioral issues with my son, and being, you know, a social worker in the past, I had access and education, but I didn't understand why I couldn't figure this out and why I felt like such a failure as a parent. So hopefully you dive in today and you get a lot of useful information from the interview. My dog is sitting next to me, and I'm hoping you can't hear her pant. Her name is Miss Ellie, and she is a one-year-old Burmese Mountain Dog, and she's literally sitting under my feet right now. She doesn't realize how big she is. She probably weighs just as much as I do, but I love her to pieces. Anywho, back to the show. If you like this show, please rate us. Please subscribe to our channel on iTunes and leave us a kind review. And if you want more, you can always go into the show notes. You can find that at momisincontrol.com. Other than that, let's get started. So welcome, Sandy, and thank you so, so much for being here on Mom is in Control.
My pleasure, Heather.
I absolutely love having candid conversations, not only with parents and women, but people who, you know, have been through something and are creating change, like sending that message out to the world. And I know I've seen you all over on the interwebs, and, you know, founder of Leading Edge Parenting. And I know you have a book out, but I want to hear a little bit about your parenting journey and kind of how you got to where you are today.
So when I was young, all I wanted to be was a kindergarten teacher. That was my dream. And I became a kindergarten teacher in New York City. And about 8 years into teaching and feeling like an expert, you know, I had all the advanced degrees from Columbia University, and I was pretty successful as a teacher. We had our first child, Matthew. And I tell people, if Matthew could have talked when he first came into the world, he would have looked around and said, whoa, this is going to be fun. Matthew came into the world one of those easygoing babies that everybody wants. Nothing seemed to throw him. He thrived easily. Everything I did seemed to work. And as a result, I had a pretty big ego because I thought it was because I was such a great parent.
And don't we all think that?
I did not give my husband any credit for anything. It was all me. I just understood children so well. I knew just what I was doing. And he was the product of my brilliant parenting. Well, 4 years later, his sister Melissa came through. And I describe it as if she could have spoken when she was born, she would have said, what the heck did I get myself involved in? I can't believe that I'm in this place. It's not going to work for me. Mm-hmm. Because from the day she came home from the hospital, she cried. She was colicky. It seemed like nothing I did worked for her. And as a little girl, and she's going to be on your show in a couple of weeks. So be
yeah,
fun
I'm
to
really
hear from
excited.
Her what, yeah, what life was like. But as her mother, oh my gosh, it was, wait a minute, what's wrong with this child? You know, why isn't she responding the way her brother did? A lot of parents go through that. They have different children and they're all so different. And when one is challenging, we think there's something wrong with them. Mm-hmm. And I tell Melissa and I tell the world now that really she came through as such a gift, because had I had another easygoing child, I really would have thought I knew it all. And I didn't. None of my postgraduate degrees prepared me to be the mother of a highly sensitive, intense, energy-seeking, empathetic, energy-reading human being. And I didn't know how to be for her. And so the ego got greatly reduced, which was really important for me. And I realized I first had to do my own individual research and learning. And it was only after Melissa's birth that I really started to understand children, and I started to understand the relationship between parents and children. It changed the way I was a teacher, and then eventually a director, and then college professor, you know, teaching about children, and now the work that I do with parents all over the world. And I know that if I did not birth two totally different children, I wouldn't have really understood it. I also was a teacher in the school that the two of them went to. Mm-hmm. So I understood what it felt like to be the parent of a kid like Matt, who handled school easily, knew how to play the game of school. Academics were easy for him. Harvard, you know, law school graduate. He was the kind of kid who just played the game brilliantly. Melissa, on the other hand, I would say, as I walked down the hallway of the school, if I bumped into Matt's teachers, I would be ready, because they would always say something profoundly beautiful about him. If I bumped into one of Melissa's teachers, I was worried they would tell me something that the two of us would go, huh? And so I would duck into a classroom to see one of her teachers.
I've done that.
Yeah. And you might ask her about this, but when she was in, I think, third grade, her teacher stopped me and said, okay, Sandy, now I'm really perplexed. I said, oh, what'd she do now? She wasn't, you know, naughty or anything. She just was different. And the kids had to write a little essay about what they wanted to be when they grew up. This is from an 8-year-old point of view. And some of them wanted to be doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, you know, whatever they wanted to be. What did Melissa want to be? The boss. And I asked her when she got home that day, honey, what do you want to be the boss of? And she said, I don't care, as long as I'm the boss. And, you know, we joked about that, and we actually teased her about that, which I feel badly now that I understand. But what she was trying to say to the world is she doesn't fit in, and she can't, you know, walk into a company and just sing a party line. She has got to be the boss of her own soul, of her own journey, and do it her way. But as an 8-year-old, she did not know how to express that. So, yeah, that was the beginning of the work that I was led to do, having these two different children come into my life and show me two totally different perspectives of what the world felt like to them and what it felt like to parent them.
I love that. And I mean, I've been there too. I have three boys, three very different boys. And my first was the, oh my gosh, child. And my second was, oh my gosh, thank you for the first. And then the third was, you're too good. What's wrong with you? You know, like you're too easy. I could have 20 of you. So Sandy, there was something that you said, and I feel like your story, obviously where you are now and understanding that there is this whole other world to understanding children, but knowing that you've been there and that it's okay to have these moments where you say, what did I do wrong? Like, why can't I figure this out? Because I was that parent, and I see that a lot, especially when you're educated, right? You think, I'm a teacher. I should know children. I should know what's going on here. There was something that you mentioned. There was a few things, actually phrases that you said. You kept saying, like, when Melissa came through. Can you exaggerate more on that? Because I'm sure it's a mindset shift for people on how children enter the world.
Well, let me say this. I had a miscarriage after Matthew. And let me back up. I had a lot of trouble conceiving Matthew. It took many years before he was conceived. And I went through that whole process where you make deals with God and, you know, you want to be happy for your friends, but it's really hard. And I just wanted a child of my own to love. And I went through a spiritual experience where I really understood what letting go was all about. I really let go that perhaps I would never carry and birth my own child. And the way I understood this total letting go, which is different from thinking you're letting go, but you're still really holding on, is that I made love with my husband for the first time after many years just because I loved him, not because I wanted to get pregnant and I wasn't worrying about it. And the miracle that I experienced, which a lot of women experience, is that 2 months later, I did conceive Matthew. And so I started to understand it was a spiritual connection of some kind. I call it this magical spiritual connection that I don't know the answers to, but I know it's there. And then when I had the miscarriage after Matthew, about 2 days into it, when I was grieving and feeling sad, I got this knowing. It's the only way I can express it, Heather. This knowing came through me that said, don't grieve so much, sweet Sandy. Just a change of plans. There is a soul that needs a very special mother, and we've just changed the plans, and another one will be coming through you. And so I've shared this with Melissa because there are times she struggles with the way she came through. It's not easy for some human beings when they come through and the world is such a difficult place for them and they're not understood as children and they're given the messages, what's wrong with you and why can't you be like everybody else? And I wanted her to know that she was a special soul that came through and that I felt honored and privileged that I was chosen to be her mother and that it wasn't always easy, but it was the beginning of my incredible growth and it still is. Both my kids are in their 30s. And let me tell you, to all the young parents out there, it's a never-ending process. You never stop being a parent and you don't ever have to stop growing and learning through the whole process.
I love that. And I'm going to make my mom listen to this episode. It is, I say parenting is like personal growth on steroids. That
yes.
It will catapult you and show you the areas of yourself where you have opportunity to grow. But I love what you were talking about with how Melissa was just, you know, you had this knowing as some of us do, right? And you can't explain it. And sometimes we're like ashamed to say it out loud, but there's just this inner knowing of like, everything will be okay. Or whatever's happening is supposed to happen. And the soul is here to teach you. I believe our children pick us.
Yes, I do too. And we're perfect matches for each other, but that doesn't mean it's all going to be a smooth ride.
Oh, it means no.
All those bumps are there for the parent to grow and for the child to grow. And when we appreciate that rather than get agitated by it, that's when the miracles happen.
So that said, this is what's coming up for me. So a parent with a child who's in this stuck place of what is wrong with my child? What is wrong with me? Why can't we figure this out? Too many children on, you know, I've had to get out of the Facebook groups with parents because it actually breaks my heart, but just feeling powerless to support their children. But there was something I read on your your website that it was a statement and I want to read it. It's to just kind of touch base on us as parents, how we can truly support our children through this process with whatever they're experiencing. It could come out as you know, academic struggles or personal struggles, self-esteem, whatever it is. But on your website, it says parents are less powerful than they want to be and more powerful than they realize. Knowing how you are totally powerless actually opens up the pathway to discover where your greatest influence lies. So how do parents actually have an influence on their children's health and development?
Well, that statement actually is what, when I came up with that statement, it sparked the book that I wrote, Authentic Parenting Power, because what I've learned through all these years as a teacher and as a, you know, an educator and as a professor and especially as a parent, and now as a grandparent, is we are very powerless in the very places we want to be powerful. And we are extremely powerful in the places where we don't want to take responsibility. And I'll explain what I mean by that, because many people are saying, huh?
Yeah.
So here, this is what I mean. Most of us want to have the power to change other people. Ask anybody how their mate, their children, their friends, their siblings should be different. We could tell you without even thinking how other people need to change. We also can see it so easily. If they would only do this or only do that, their life would be so much better. And what we learned painfully through the years is we can't change other people. Even if we try to explain to them, even if we lay it out, many parents give lectures and statistics and all kinds of things to try to get their kids to do it differently. When we are in this kind of, trying to be in this kind of powerful place, we're actually becoming controllers. We want so much to control them for their own good, and yet it usually backfires on us and or the children. Because when we are in this kind of power, or at least we think it's powerful, but it's really an illusion of power. We use punishments and threats and coercion, and well, they're pushing out buttons and we become reactive. And so we have this urgency to get back into some kind of power because we're afraid of what will happen for them if they don't do what we say they should do, because we know better. We become reactive and actually we become powerless. So if we really want to be in our authentic power, which is what my book is all about, our authentic power, which is this kind of power that is heart opening, creates connections between people, allows the best to flow, is nurturing and understanding with intention, then we are responding to who our individual child is and understanding what it is that makes them tick and what it is they need from us so that we can nurture them and allow the seeds of potential that they have to rise to limitless possibilities. The thing is, Heather, is our ego mixes us all up when it comes to power. And when I think of ego, I think of fear and worry and pride and our own story that we're oblivious to, that we bring into our parenting journey. Those are the things that get in the way of us understanding where the true power is, because we are powerless over a lot of things. You can't change the color of your child's eyes or the kind of hair they have or how tall they're going to grow. We know that as parents, so we don't even try to do that. But what we don't really know is that we also cannot control their journey. We can't control their spiritual journey, which is at the heart of everything they've come here for. We can't control how they're going to do in school and what college they're going to get into and what kind of a job they're going to actually get and who they're going to wind up marrying. We cannot really control any of that stuff. We live in an illusion when we think we can. And when that urgency comes through from the fear or from the worry or the pride or our own story of stuff that's buried deep inside us that we're not even aware that's causing us to get all upset with them, we've actually lost our power. Because now we're crumbling under the ego. And when we learn how to take care of, well, the only thing we can take care of, which is ourselves and our own connection to our own truth and to our own inner knowing. When we learn how to do that, then we parent from a place of true, authentic power. And we learn how to really connect with each one of our children and what each one really needs from us. And then we can become intentional. And that's when the miracles happen. And my work is all about helping parents learn how to do that.
I love that. And that was kind of piggybacks off to the next question I wanted to ask you, which, you know, this show is called Mom is in Control for a reason. And as you were saying, we can't control, you know, their spiritual journey. We can't control a lot of things. And I'm sure everybody who's listening can attest to what happens when we do try to control, right? You get that pushback, and the anger and frustration and disconnect. So when you were saying, Sandy, I was going to ask you what can we control? And that is within ourselves, we can control how we react to the situation. So what would you say to somebody who says, okay, I'm on this parenting journey. I'm open to this process. It's still, I don't understand it fully, but I'm open to going down that road. But my partner is out there in La La Land and still believes that if a child, and I say La La Land as in he's in his own world, it's not right or wrong. And he still believes that if a child says something to me, that's disrespectful, you know, that should not be seen nor heard. And there's a lot of power struggle there. Yes. So what would you say to that parent who wants to feel in control?
I actually work with privately with several, and they happen to be, most of them are moms. Their partner is not quite in this totally with them. They're kind of rolling their eyes. And so what I say to them is, okay, don't use that as an excuse not to learn all that you can learn, because there are soft ways that we can include the partner when they start to see a turnaround, when they start to see a child have less tantrums or less outbreaks. And one of the ways is just by sitting with a child and becoming interested in what they're doing. One of the ways is just by appreciating something you see them doing. And lots of times the other partner will be open to something very soft. So the one who wants to know, the parent who is aware that there's something more and they want to learn, how to do it with their child, can start to model for the other parent and softly bring them along. And I actually had to do that with my husband. You know, I think he was more old school, and I would say to him, could you just trust me on this and let's see how it goes? And I would offer him little, you know, niblets of something that he could do. And then he would see a turnaround and he would give me a look and I'd smile like, ooh. So I just want to say, don't give up. If at least one parent gets it, oh my gosh, you have huge potential for miracles just from that one vehicle, which would be the parent who knows there's more to learn.
I love that. And I'm laughing over here because it is a journey, and people often do perceive that, oh, well, if two parents are not on board, then it's not, you know, it's not going to work. And I think if you can create any form of shift and transformation in your life. And when people start, you know, it's like when you start eating healthy and you have more energy, and people are like, what are you doing? Like, what's your secret? They start asking, right? Because you're not trying to push it onto them. They're just saying, okay, I see the connection you have or how you get through to your child or our child. Maybe there's something I'm doing wrong, or I can shift my perspective.
And the other thing, Heather, is both parents are bringing their own story and their own history and their beliefs into their parenting journey. And so often they come from a whole different set of belief systems. You know, one of the greatest quote that has helped me through my life is the one that says, we are shaped by our thoughts and we become what we think. And I have learned how true that really is. So, you know, if one partner believes one thing because of their history, I mean, some partners believe I got spanked when I was a kid and it served me well and there's nothing wrong with it. you know, and the other partner is rolling her eyes thinking, oh, yeah, you know, but that's what he really believes. So you need to be soft with him and say something like, but imagine how great it would have felt if you could have become all the great stuff you are today and never had had to have been spanked. How would that have felt? You know, just something soft. And we can learn how to do that for each other and for our children.
That's beautiful. So how do you think this parenting shift, this paradigm, right? This how we're starting to kind of what I call right now, it's kind of thinking outside the box, right? Like stepping back and going, that doesn't feel good. Or there has to be another way. How do you see this unfolding into the future and generations coming?
Well, I have to tell you, when I first thought about doing this work, it just came to me back in the 90s. I was teaching a college class to teachers. And what I noticed was they would come up after class and the questions they asked were not about their students. It was about their own children. And what I realized was parents, up until, you know, this generation, pretty much, what did you know? You knew what your parents did. And what did they know? You know, only what their parents did for them. But now, with the explosion of the internet, with the explosion of, I believe, a spiritual shift, something big is going on. And the internet is allowing us to get to more people all over the world. I'm shocked when parents write to me from India and Singapore and, you know, Australia, New Zealand, all over the world. This is happening. We're waking up. We know there's another way, and we know that we cannot fool ourselves and live in the distortion anymore that our parents believed, which was, this is for your own good. It's because I love you. Whack. We know that that's not authentic. And more people want to live their life authentically. And we want to parent that way. And we want to bring our children up in a way where love doesn't hurt anymore. If love has hurt attached to it, then something needs to shift in it. Love needs to feel safe and needs to feel protected and needs to feel connected and compassionate. And so I just believe, Heather, with people like you and me and radio shows and, you know, the ability to get on the internet and learn more and more people are going to be doing this. And energetically, it's just going to start shifting.
Mm-hmm. And it is, I love what you're talking about with how you have noticed the shift. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity and the internet, right? To be able to connect with other resources and go, no, there is more, right? There is other ways to be, because you can learn from so many different people. And you kind of got to find your own way and what works for you and your family. I'm a big advocate for that too, that there's no cookie cutter theory.
You know, there's so much that now parents could get totally confused because there's too much. And so you have to find the person or the writing that resonates with you. The only caveat to that is we can fool ourselves. You know, we can live in an illusion that says, well, tough love is the way to go. Or again, there's a whole thing on my website for free about timeouts and that the traditional way people use timeouts, which they're using more now because they're trying not to spank. So there's a step, you know, in a more positive way. But even the way we're using timeouts really isn't healthy, because if you don't understand what goes on inside a child's brain when they're sitting in timeout, you don't get it that they haven't learned how to handle their emotions or how to do it better the next time. Now they're just angrier or pushing down their upset deeper. So get out there on the internet or pick up a book or find a coach who will help you find a really inspiring way to be the parent you want to be.
Agree. Amen. Done. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you got to search, right? You got to look, you got to find what works for you and what you resonate with.
And we have to be willing to change. We also have to be willing to be open to thinking in a way maybe we haven't thought about before. And that's when those great ahas come. Oh my gosh, I never thought of it like that. Oh, you mean that's why he's doing that? You mean if I did this, I might see a turnaround? I don't have to yell at him or threaten him or punish him to get him to do that? There's a more positive, emotionally healthy way? What a wonderful, wonderful aha moment that can be for a parent.
Totally. And I love, I even say to people all the time, like, even though I teach this stuff, I ask for advice all the time to fellow colleagues, or, you know, if I have to get a coach for, you know, what's going on with my son, this is what I would tell a client, but I'm in it. My blinders are on. So what am I not looking at, right? How can I get out of my own way?
Well, you know what it is, Heather, when I was a teacher, I could handle something brilliantly, but then I'd come home at night to my own family and I would handle it miserably. And I was like, I would get into bed at night, feel horrible. Like, what's wrong? You know, I know how to handle that better because of the emotional connection. Our children just push the buttons, our own emotional buttons. And sometimes we can't get out of our own way to not be so connected to what's going on. And so often I give a talk and I'll say, gee, maybe I should just listen to what I just said myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll look around the room at my daughter and my husband and they're laughing because they know that maybe I need to listen to my own advice.
Yeah. I hear you.
Live my own.
Just can you record this talk and then I'll play it back to myself later tonight.
But first I have to learn how to breathe and meditate and get centered, or I'm not even open to my own advice.
Totally. So there's a few more questions I want to ask you, and then there's something I call the lightning round Q&A.
Okay.
That will offer support to the listeners. So obviously you've been doing this work for a while, Sandy. What still inspires you to keep going and to support other parents around the world?
I have this inner passionate drive, which I believe is part of my spiritual journey. There have been times I've thought, Sandy, you know, you're in your 60s now. Why don't you just turn this over to the younger generation? Mm-hmm. I can't, Heather. And I think that when you're connected to your soul's passion, you wake up. I wake up. Let me speak for myself. I wake up every morning and can feel that moving through every part of my being. If I can help one person today, if I can make a difference in the life of one parent, one child today, then my soul's passion is alive and thriving. And that's what keeps me going.
I love that. And that just gave me permission too, because some days I'm like, all right, doesn't everybody know this stuff by now? But the message travels forever and ever and ever.
Yes.
So what's one thing that you have going on right now that's getting you excited and fired up, whether that's in personal or professional life?
I have a dream and a vision, which was so big and so scary. And I heard someone say once, if your dream is big and scary, then that's the way it has to be. That then you know you're on track.
Yep. So,
and that is, I would like to build a parenting institute in San Diego, which would link up all over the internet, and it would be kind of like the AARP, which for you young folks and don't know what that is, when you're like 50 or 55, you get this letter from the AARP, which is retired persons community. Giving you support as you're moving through that stage of your life. Well, I want this to be a support system where brilliant people, like all the people you interview and all the people I once interviewed on my radio show, where it would be a place where parents could come get all the support in one place that would bring them through that piece of their journey. And so I don't know how I'm going to make it happen. I'm working with a coach and I just trust one step at a time. And that's the way I'm following the advice I give to parents. Sometimes you don't really know where it's going to go. You don't have all the answers. You don't have the crystal ball. You just know what the vision is. And one step at a time, you move in that direction.
I love that. And I want to hold you accountable to that because I know that we need it. And oh my goodness, that would be amazing. So when you have a date or a time or a year or something, you email me and I will hold you to that.
You will hear me screaming off the rooftops.
Awesome. Awesome. So Sandy, now we're going to hit the lightning round.
Okay.
I want to know what you talk a lot about your, parenting journey and a few of the stories. What is your proudest parenting moment?
Well, when I think of proudest moment, I always want to be sure it's not from my ego, because, you know, sometimes when we're proud, it's kind of ego driven. And I just want to say, when Matthew got into Harvard Law School, that was a very proud moment, but I think it was maybe ego driven. And so, the difference between ego driven and heart wide open driven, you got to really check in with yourself. You know, is there bragging involved? Is there you're looking good involved? Is there my child's a star involved? So I want to be sure when I share it, it's not that part of pride. It's a different kind of pride, which is a heart wide opening. And so my proudest moment I can come up with is watching my two grown children who sometimes misunderstand each other, watching them so care about their relationship that they work at it and they cry together and they continue to talk to each other to understand each other. And for me, that is a heart wide opening moment of pride, because it means they care. They care about family. They care about each other. And it would be easier. I see so many grown siblings who just stop talking to each other. So yeah, it feels to me like daddy and I modeled that no matter how tough it gets, you come back and you listen to each other and you hear each other. And that's what real relationships are about.
Awesome. That's invaluable. So what gets you out of bed in the morning?
Knowing that something's going to show itself and I can make a difference in the world. And even if I don't know what it's going to be, that if I stay open to it, it will be there.
Awesome. And what keeps you energized?
What keeps me energized is that passion that flows through me. There's just this energizing passion that says the world might not need another parenting coach, but you need to share your story and your love and your care. And the other thing too, I think, Heather, is this unending zest and zeal to make it a better world for children. It's just this passion, and mine happens to come out in the way that parents can have open hearts to their children. And that keeps me going.
Awesome. And what's one personal habit that you believe contributes to your success? Meaning however you want to define success.
I learned, about 10, 15 years ago about meditation. And at first I thought, well, I don't know, how do you do that? You have to go to India and study with a guru. You know, I had no idea. I had a friend who meditated. It seemed a little weird to me. But eventually I bought a book that was wonderful and I started to meditate. And I have to tell you, the most miraculous things have opened up for me by getting still, putting on soft music, and just letting the thoughts flow freely through and then out, and allowing some kind of knowing to come through. That for me has been miraculous.
I love that. And that's kind of how I got into this whole process, was meditation, but it wasn't for myself. I started teaching it to my son. And now that's what I do with my clients, is helping them calm their minds, but also they're not teaching their children anything. They're reminding them, you know, they're reminding us, stay like that. Stay open, stay.
Yes, you. Because we don't have to impose our knowing on our children. If we model what it is to stay open and to stay connected, oh, then so much of the knowledge they need is going to flow through them. And then we, you know, we're their guide and we're their cheerleaders. We don't have to be the only source of information for their well-being.
Exactly. So, Sandy, do you have one internet resource besides your website that you could share with the listeners that would make their life easier? Maybe it's an organizational website or something.
Well, they can go to my Facebook page, Leading Edge Parenting Facebook page, because every day we put up another, I call it a love nugget, another writing. So, you know, join the Leading Edge Parenting Facebook page, and then just the leadingedgeparenting.com website. And there's so much free information on there for you. And Heather, I also have, for time being, I'm giving free consultations. I just, it came to me through my meditation one day. I wanted to give that gift to the world. And so for a time being, I'm going to be giving free consultations. So check that out on leadingedgeparenting.com. And I would love to work with any of your listeners from all over the world.
Awesome. So if they wanted to take advantage of that, they could just go right on to your website, which I'll have in the show notes, and they'll be able to find that on there of how to take advantage of that.
Yes, it'll say free consultation, and then you can sign up for it and I'll get it.
Perfect. Awesome. And besides your book, is there any other book or resources that you would recommend? Doesn't have to be about parenting, but something to help people start their journey.
Well, one of the books that I reference all the time, it's called The Life You Were Born to Live by Dan Millman. And he's done the most amazing work using all kinds of numerology from Eastern cultures, from thousands of years ago cultures. It's phenomenal. It's based on your birth date. And you put in your birth date, your spouse's, your children's birth date, and it talks about your soul's work and what it looks like when you don't do the work, what the challenges and struggles are going to look like, and then what it could look like for you if you do the work of your soul's journey. And it's just fascinating because when you read about your children or yourself, not yourself, you don't always see yourself in your own, but boy, you see it in your kids and your mate. It's just fascinating. And it's been really amazing to me to watch myself's growth and to understand my kids, because they've really got my children right there and my husband. It's fascinating. So I don't have to get angry with them when they're struggling. That's what they came here for.
Yeah, I think we forget that, right? That struggle is part of the process.
And they're not doing it to me. Once I get that out of it, I don't have to be upset and angry with them and take it personally.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you. Do you have any parting words of piece of guidance, or words of advice for the listeners?
All I want to say for parting is you don't have to be perfect. None of us are perfect. You can make mistakes because children can handle that. But don't get stuck. If you have any sense in your heart or your spirit that there's more to learn or a different way to do it, then get open for it, ask questions, search it out, and be open to learning something new. Oh, and also,
yeah, go.
Never too late to say to your child, oh my gosh, I wish I had done it differently. I'm so sorry.
I love that. I say that every day. I'm like, oh, do over, reset. I'm sorry.
That gives them permission to say that to you.
Yeah. Well, Sandy, thank you so much for being here, taking time just to be here, and for sharing your wisdom with the world and letting everybody know that it's okay to be you and to get unstuck. And you have amazing resources on your site, and I will have all of the links to your site, the books that you've recommended, your book, and also your free consults in the show notes. So great. They'll know where to go at Mom is in Control for that. But other than that, thank you so much for being here.
It's been my pleasure. None of us have to do it perfectly.
No,
doesn't that feel good?
Yeah, really good. So that's it, Mama. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. As I mentioned, you can head on over to mamasincontrol.com for all the show notes and how to get a copy of Sandy's book. It is absolutely juicy, juicy, juicy. I have one myself, and it's very practical and very knowledge-based. So you can jump onto Amazon. But yeah, jump on over to mamasincontrol.com and I have the link right there for you. Other than that, you're welcome to leave us a review. I'd kindly appreciate it. Or if you have any personal questions, you can send me a message at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin.com. I think that's it for now. We will talk next week with her daughter, Melissa Schwartz. And Melissa is, it's great because she gives a perspective. She's a grown woman now, but she gives a perspective of what it was like to grow up with a mother, who was forward thinking, but also what it felt like for her as a child. So stay tuned and we'll talk soon. This summer, I'm being incredibly intentional about community. My word for the summer is community and connection. And I just want to say thank you for being a longtime podcast listener, or maybe you're a new listener, and I wanted to celebrate you. And I wanted to create more connections. So what I've decided to do is do a merch giveaway. If you are unfamiliar, I have a merch shop on my store, so you can go check it out on my website at heatherchauvin.com. You can purchase anything you want. But what I'm actually going to be doing is I'm going to do a giveaway for my hat, my How Do You Want to Feel baseball cap, one of my journals, which is the Emotionally Uncomfortable journal, and my beautiful Myrrh mug, which is called Excited Shitless. Excited Shitless is when you take the leap and you're like excited about your next level, but you're also terrified. So go check out the merch on my store. But here is how you can dive into the actual giveaway. Go to Instagram and find me at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. And right now I have about like 19 or 20,000 followers. So if you're finding someone else that doesn't have that, that's not me. And all you have to do is follow me to be entered into the giveaway, and then send me a private message that says giveaway. That's all you got to do. Go follow me on Instagram at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. I think there's an underscore after that. Follow me and DM me giveaway. And what we're going to be doing in a few weeks is we are going to announce the winner, and then we will reach out to you in your DMs on Instagram, and we're going to ask you which item you want in the merch shop. Do you want a hat? Which color do you want? Do you want a journal? Do you want a mug? Do you want a signed copy of my book? And yeah, that's it. It's all about connection, community, and gratitude for me this summer. And I just want to say thank you for being a listener. Thank you for, you know, all the messages that I receive on Instagram and in email. I'm just here to help women thrive. And this is not an emotionally comfortable journey, as you know, hence the reason the name of the podcast. And in order to attract more time, more energy, more money in our lives, we got to take some emotionally uncomfortable action. So I'm right there with you on the front lines. And yeah, go follow me on Instagram and DM me. Giveaway.